We're talking about developing intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it is very important that you listen, because God will give us wisdom that will help us in 2019 to go from glory to what? Glory. We need to develop intimacy with the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." And the Bible says, "Amen." The communion with the Holy Spirit means to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, according to New Living Translation. And Message Translation says, intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. To have communion, to have fellowship, to have intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And like we said on Sunday, we are now in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament was when from creation, the Father was at the forefront. We didn't hear Jesus at the forefront. We didn't hear the Holy Spirit at the forefront. It was about Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah introducing himself. I am that I'm what? I am. He was introducing himself all over the place. So he was at the forefront. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there, but the Father was at the forefront until we saw the scripture begin to talk about in that day. He began to tell us that unto us a son born, and the government will what? Be on his shoulder. And we just celebrated that. So on the day that Jesus was born, that was the day his ministry began. He came to the forefront. It was all about him. For 33 and a half years, it was all about him. And then at the end of his ministry, he told his disciples that it was very, very important that he should go. He was done. It is finished. He said, it's very important that I will go. But he told them that there is another like him that will come and take it from here to the end. So we call it the last days, partly because Jesus is coming soon, but primarily because this is the last ministry of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and what? This is the last. After this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, there is no other dispensation coming, except what the scripture tells us, that this earth and everything will be folded up and handed back to the Father. And the earth as we know it will not exist anymore. There will be a new earth and a new heaven. So it's the last days of the ministry of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and what? The Holy Spirit. And we must know that. Every Christian must understand that. That now we are in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If we don't, we do what the Jews did. Jesus said to the Jews, he said, "The great light is here, I don't even know it." We must not miss the point that this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he came on the day of Pentecost, he came like a mighty rushing wind. When Jesus came, he came in the manger as the Lamb of God who taketh away our sins and as Savior. And like I mentioned some time ago, that being born in a manger is significant because he came as a lamb also. And where do lambs get born? In the manger. So he was born as a manger, in the manger. And then when the Holy Spirit came, he didn't come in the manger. He came as a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. And then John chapter 16, verse 7 said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I need time up there." "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now the Holy Spirit came to do something very, very primary. He came to do something very important. He came to give us revelation. He came to make sense of what cannot be made sense otherwise. He came to bring to make man understand the things that his brain cannot what? Understand. And only him can do that. He came to reveal Christ Jesus to us, because Jesus said to his disciples, "Say, nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except who? The Father." So he came to reveal Christ to us. He came to reveal to us everything that Jesus did on the cross, the benefits to the church. He came to teach us about the church, because nobody had the church before. So he came to teach us about the church, to explain the cross and everything that Jesus achieved for us, to show us things that are freely now given to us. The wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is? We don't preach that part. We always end with wages of sin, trying to frighten people. As if to say God sent us on a mission to frighten people. God does not work fear with fear, no. The Bible says God does not give the spirit of fear. Fear is to manipulate people. You don't use fear. The gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. So he came to show us what Jesus brought to us freely, the maximum blessings of God that God has bestowed upon us, the benefit of his grace, the victory of his grace. Nobody would have understood why Jesus died and how the devil was defeated there and anything that Jesus gave us except the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. Nobody would have understood why Jesus died. Nobody would have understood the benefit of going to the cross. Nobody. When Jesus said, "I came to give you life and can give you life more abundantly," there's no way you and I will understand what that means. There is nothing in the natural that will illustrate this for anybody. It has never happened before. Nobody knows anything about it. So the Spirit of God came to reveal all of this to us and to administer all those benefits on the cross to us. The Bible says he watches over his word to what? Perform it. To perform those, to make, bring into reality all those things that Christ died to provide to the church. He administers this and makes it happen. He makes it come into reality. He brings us the performance of every promise that has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He brings it into reality in our lives. He came to guide us into God's plan for our individual lives. He came to show us what God plans for your life, because you don't know them except he shows it to you. Really, the summary of it is that he came to make sense of spiritual realities. He came to make sense of spiritual what? Realities. To make the invisible things done by God visible to man. What he never would have articulated otherwise. He came to make sense of God's wisdom executed in Christ. My brothers and my sisters, no human being on earth has the ability to articulate God's wisdom. None. Nobody can understand salvation. Nobody can. It's humanly impossible. Only the Holy Spirit brings it to you and makes you understand it. Only him. And so God told us in Isaiah 55 verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than what? Your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts." So they're not the same frequency at all. I was sharing with my brother Obi. I said, "Do you think that a dog sitting, you are eating in a family at the table and your dog is sitting there, do you think the dog will understand why you are eating in an orderly manner? He will expect you to throw the food what, down, and there will be a scramble. If you have dogs eating together, they usually have a scramble. So this one, you are sitting and say, 'Pass me the butter and pass me the thing.' A dog is wondering whether these people have lost their mind, because to him it doesn't make sense." My brothers, let me tell you, everything God does doesn't make sense. It really makes sense, because he says, "My ways are higher. What I'm doing is beyond you." It doesn't make sense at all. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. "The message of the cross," New Living Translation, "is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the power of God, As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent, because it's worthless when it comes to dealing with God. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters, all those scientists trying to tell us there's no God? God already spoke about them before they were born, because he knows they will show up. Say, God has made the wisdom of this world look what? Foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world will never know him through human, it's impossible to know God through human wisdom. It's not possible. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe it. So that's why God sent his Holy Spirit to unravel the wisdom of God to man so that it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, we cannot believe it. If we don't believe it, we cannot benefit from that. And so he sent us the Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot, go back, verse 12. You cannot what? Say, you can't understand it now until the teacher comes. You can't. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of what? Truth is come, he will what? Now guide you into the truth. For he shall now not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Continue. He will glorify me, for he shall, he will glorify who? Me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. He said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't understand it. All you are left with is your intelligence. You can't, because by wisdom you can't know these things. Until he comes, you don't know nothing. That's why they were singing, they were talking about, what manner of man is this? The church shouldn't be saying so, because we know him. What manner of man is Jesus? Stop. We know him. Can I hear amen? I said we know him. Church, I said we know him. We sing all these things, we copy and copy, photocopy and sing. No, it's not. Jesus is not what manner of man. Are you kidding me? He's my Savior, he's my Lord, I know him. I know in whom I believe. It's no more what manner of man. The Spirit of God revealed him to me and to you also. So you should talk about him confidently because you know him. He's not a stranger to you. So he says, when the Spirit comes, then he will show you these things, he will take off mine and reveal them to you. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Look up here. There are things that God wants to do in your life that you will never understand. Never. There are plans he has for you, doesn't make sense. Zero sense. And you're struggling with it. Because you want to look at it with your, and God says, I, God, made it impossible for you to locate me with your wisdom. But there are a lot of things God is doing in your life. It doesn't make sense. When God said I would be a pastor, it didn't make sense. Because I looked at myself, I said, how can I be a pastor? I've been drinking and smoking. How can somebody who's been drinking, smoking be a pastor? Didn't make sense to me. For 10 years, I refused. I said, what makes sense is to be a businessman. I told my wife, I said, I was born to make money. My mission in life is to make. And my wife was crying. This is a real story. She was crying. He said, my husband, I don't care about money. Go and serve Jesus. I laughed her to scorn. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense at all. Let me repeat it. Brethren, look up here. I'm telling you now. This is why a lot of people are frustrated in life, running around the circle, praying prayer that God is not interested in. I prayed so much, I went to the church and lay flat. I gave God 7 names. I said, these people are wonderful. They are better than me. Her name was there. I said, she's so quiet. I put Pastor Fasherati. I put other people. I said, Lord, you made a mistake. These people are better than me. I said, I will spoil your church. Because I was very raw. Extremely raw. When I mean raw, raw doesn't even begin to describe it. I'm telling you. It didn't make sense. There are people God wants you to marry. Who makes sense? You look at them, they don't fit into your... Say, it didn't come from our village. Who cares about your village? You think in heaven all they sit about is selecting your husband and wife from your village? Your God has no time for stuff like that. There are people God will lead you to marry. Let me tell you, it doesn't make sense. Probably they have no job, even if I have no qualification. But in your articulation, it cannot be God. I'm telling you people, some of you are in the wrong profession. I'm not kidding. Some of you are doing what God does. God is not interested in it. And you are struggling, you are sweating, you are suffering, you are doing all these things. Are you serious? Didn't you read the scripture? That the righteous shall flourish like what? Palm tree. When the power of God is powering you, don't suffer nothing. When you drove here, how much suffer did you suffer? Was it not a power that brought you here? Well, God will help us solve all those problems. Can I hear amen? Square peg in a round hole. It produces friction. One time I came here, outside, and the Lord said to me, somebody came and they're talking of, I told you this story, talking about rent or something. They didn't have rent. And the Lord said to me, help them. I said, we've just been paid. So let me give you part. He said, no, give everything. It doesn't make sense to take all your income, all your pay in the month, and hand to somebody else. How does it make sense? It doesn't make sense at all. The Lord said, give him everything. He said, he needs rent. You need a seed. He needs rent. You need what? A seed. So I've given you a seed. And I'm giving him rent. You know, sometimes we eat our seed. The Bible says he giveth seed to the sower. Sometimes we chop seed, chop everything. Because it doesn't make sense. Tell me how it makes sense. If I tell you what happened after that, you open your mouth. But you won't. If he tells you to sow that seed, will you? There are people in your life, he told you to cut off, you won't cut off. Because it doesn't make sense to you. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. First Corinthians 2:11. 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. A foolish thing. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually. But he is doing it intellectually, trying to discern it. I said on Sunday, I repeat it, many Christians read the Bible as an abstract stuff. The Bible is not an abstract stuff. The Bible is a living reality. There's nothing abstract about the Bible. The Word of God is substance. It's alive. It breathes. It's alive. It's spirit. If God says, I've healed you, it's absolute truth. It's a reality. If God says you're a new creature, that is you that's a new creature. It's right there. If God said, hey, I took away your infirmities, that is a you that doesn't have infirmity. Otherwise, God will be telling, but the word of God is true. Yeah. We read it and we say, it will happen. Expecting it to happen. Because we plug it into our natural. And we want to confirm it with our, you're not talking now. That was when he was singing that song. He says, tomorrow will be what? I told him, I said, no, it's not faith. Tomorrow is hope. Faith is what? Today is good for you. I said, today is what? If it's tomorrow, tomorrow will come, then tomorrow. When will tomorrow come? It never comes. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. So we need to understand that what the Spirit of God came to make you perceive. Everybody say perceive. to make you spot, to make you distinguish from all the stuff around you, from every possibility, from all the thinking, from all the plans, from all the businesses you can do, everything you can do in life. He came to make you distinguish God's plan from all of them, so you can spot what you can see from with your natural eye. When my wife was fasting and praying, don't tell her this. She must not hear it. When she was fasting and praying, that God will give her somebody that will help her make heaven. He said, that's all my desire in life. I just wanted a husband that will make me to make what? Say, I was fasting and praying. And God gave her this man here. The man was so raw. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I didn't look like anybody getting to heaven. Neither did I look like somebody who will help somebody make it. I was nothing near. I don't even want to begin to talk about. That's why I'm telling, listen to me. If your children are acting somehow, my friend, be at peace. Don't bother yourself. Oh, God is too powerful. If they don't learn by wisdom, they will learn by experience. God knows how to put the hook. The Bible said that God put the hook upon nations. He said he put his hook upon. Do you know who we are talking about? Almighty God. God knows how to throw a hook and hook that child. Leave me alone. I know that he will hear. One day he'll wake up and hear. But you have to know how to enter. This teaching is a lot we're going to learn. This is just, we're going to learn how to be at the rest of God before the Holy Spirit is doing something. So it's to help you to observe. To discern is to observe. To discern is to spot. The discern is to distinguish. Is to recognize. Is to notice what God has done, to make substance of it. To make substance of it. So you can see the reality of it. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. The Bible says, he who has ears to hear, so there is eye with which you see. In Luke chapter 24, verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave to them. This is Jesus. And these were his disciples. And they were sitting at the table, verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I want to tell you something. My brothers and sisters, look at me. Going to church, reading Bible, is good, but it's not enough. I'm telling you why a lot of Christians don't understand faith, don't walk in faith, don't even understand the salvation. They hold it still as an abstract. You're trying to move them to faith. They're trying to move you to sight, to move them to faith. No, this substance, this is done. They say, pastor, but you don't understand. I don't care. Studying Bible, reading is not enough. The Holy Spirit must do the eye open. If he doesn't do it, you haven't studied. I tell people, reading Bible is good, but until the Spirit of God begins to teach you, you have communion with him. You have just done religion. When I study, I don't rush. I can be in one verse for 3 weeks. As long as he's talking to me on that verse, I'm going nowhere. I mean, it's like, well, you are drawing from me. Man, you are drawing. I don't rush. All this plan to read Bible in 12 years, I don't care about them. I follow his plan. I can be in one chapter for 4 weeks because he's still teaching me out of it. We are still drawing from the well. Man, amazing. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 27. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, can you imagine this? And their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets. They could not discern his voice. They could not discern his voice. They don't know what he's talking about. They can't pick out his voice from the rowdy voices around them. They can't pick out. They can't. Because they did not know him. honor the voices of the prophet, which I read every Sabbath. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. They condemned him, yet every Sabbath they read it. 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 They read it every Sunday. Every Sunday he reads it. You read in the morning. He said, they don't know the voice. They don't know the voice. They don't know his voice. They fulfilled all those things. The Bible says, you know, there are certain things you do, you think is God, and it's not God. If you don't understand what I'm teaching you, you'd be very religious. Extremely religious. And the devil loves it. Proverbs 29 verse 18. A message. If people can't see what God is doing, if people can't see what God is doing, my brothers, if people can't see what God is doing, what happens? They stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are, King James says, where there's no vision, the people perish. I told you the other Sunday what vision means, that God gives visions and dreams, not the type that we talk generally. He gives visions to people and gives dreams. And I said, if you are a Christian, retirement should not be a bother to you. Should not be a problem for you. Because even in old age, God will still give you dreams. Can I hear amen? Can somebody attend to that and distract him? Either he sits down or gets out of it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So he's, look at John chapter 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. He will think that he's doing God's service. So the Bible warned us, lean not unto thy own understanding. And if you want to develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit and develop this communion, the first thing you must do is never neglect him. Never. Don't. If you want to develop intimacy, you must not neglect him. That's number one rule. Romans 8:7. Let me read it from the message. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self, ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. The person ignores who God is, what he's doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Verse 8, let's read it together. So Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with what? And lean not unto thy own. You know why? Because with your understanding, you can't discover what God is. You will never be. You can't interpret it with, you know what you're doing. No. You can't figure it out. It's not possible. So he said, don't lean unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him, because he's the only one who can make sense of what God is doing, of what God is saying. Acknowledge him, and he will now direct that path. Did he say in some of your ways? He says in all the ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct that path. Verse 7. Let's read it together. Verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Then it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So do not ignore him. Do not walk in your own understanding. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said something very interesting. He said, I can of my own do what? Nothing. He said, all I do is what? I watch my Father. I don't ignore him. I watch him. My words are not even my own. Whatever he says, it's what I say. Whatever he does, it's what I do. And so when they came and told him that your friend Lazarus is dead, did he go? I'm asking you. Ah, did he go? Huh? And you know how they brought the message? The man you love, for emphasis. I want you to tell me, somebody you love passed, is sick, and you didn't go. That's okay. Is that normal? And then he now died. You say, let's go. When he was sick, he didn't go. When he now died, he told them, he said, let's what? Let's go. You know why he didn't go? Because the father didn't tell him to go. As I'm telling you, if you don't understand fellowship with the Spirit of God, you can do certain things, religious things, God is there, God is not there. So you don't suppress him or ignore him or set him aside. Because he's the most important person in your life now. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I'm reading Amplified. Do not quench, which means suppress or subdue the who? Holy Spirit. Do not spurn. Do not what? What is spurn? Reject. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortations or warning. Verse 21. But test all and prove all things until you can recognize what he's saying. Recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. 22. Let's read 22 together. Abstain from every evil. Shrink from it. Keep aloof from it in whatever form, whatever kind it may be. Now, if you want to have intimacy with him, take note of these scriptures. One time the Lord said to me, he said, anything that is evil in any shame, I don't get involved. Anything that is evil in any shade, in any form, I will not be part of it. Doesn't matter how it is dressed. I mean, I'm talking of those who understand the importance of having intimacy with the Spirit of God. So he told us, 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to read it again, verse 19. Do not quench, do not suppress. From verse 19, let me go back. Do not quench. Quench means suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired what? Instruction or exhortation or what? Do you know what he's talking about in that verse? Go up there. He's talking about the scripture. I'll show you in scripture. This 20, verse 20, is referring to scriptures. Primarily. Primarily. And every other utterance that God gives, but scripture primarily. Because scripture is described as prophetic writing. So, he said, don't spawn these things. And then, in verse 21, but test and prove all things until you recognize, you practice recognizing what he's telling you. You practice it. Practice makes what? You don't just rush into this. Anything that is done, you know, all this, because the Bible says you have need of patience. So you need to practice recognizing what he's talking to you about. Then in verse 22, abstain from evil, shrink from it, keep aloof from it, in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. So some of you who have gone and taken gele from people, taking cloth you didn't pay, I think you know you should pay. I'm telling you directly. You should what? And stop taking things you don't have money for. Stop taking things you don't have money for. Live within your means. If you want to develop intimacy with him, don't live in pride and greed. Be content with such as you have. Don't buy because others are buying. It's not him telling you to buy. That's not his voice. These things matter. I don't see how in good conscience you can sit here or anywhere else and be comfortable when you know that you are deliberately not paying somebody you owe and you have the money to pay. I don't know how you, that is good conscience for you. And upon that, you see, you go and take more cloth from her. Why should she even give you? If I'm no more giving you now. We should be honest. We should be sincere. We should be truthful. Our word must be trustworthy. Church, you are as good as your word. Case closed. If your word is worth nothing, your life is worth nothing. I've told you that Christian maturity is control of it. Which means you don't go and ask for something you know you don't have money to pay, and you know you have no plans to pay. That's lying. I don't even know why I went here, but I'm here. If I'm right, shout hallelujah. So he told us that we should not despise prophetic utterances. 2 Peter 1:19 tells us what it is. Am I communicating? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. You see what I mean? Don't despise prophetic utterances. He said this is a more sure word of prophecy. What is that more sure word of prophecy? Whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, you see what the Scripture is talking about, don't spawn prophetic utterances. Primarily, is the prophetic utterances of the Bible. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture, you see, it calls the word of God prophecy. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Why is it that you must not spurn it? Because it was written by the Holy Spirit. He wrote it. He's the author. In verse 21, for the prophecy, he keeps calling it prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. But what happened? Holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, do not spawn prophetic utterances. The written word of God is the Holy Spirit that wrote it. Don't joke with the Bible. If you read the book of Revelation, he said, if you add to this thing and remove, they will take your name out of the book of life. Is that serious? Is that serious? And people teach it and they don't know what. Did you know what the Bible says about teaching wrong things? Say, we'll answer to God for all of them. And Paul said, any man that teaches any gospel that is not the true gospel, let him be what? Accursed. It's serious. I tell people, you can be arguing all you want to. Just make sure what you're telling people is the truth. Otherwise, you answer to God about it. So we need to make sure that we honor the Scripture because he wrote it. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit starts with not ignoring him. Not ignoring him, not neglecting him, but honoring him as the Spirit of the living God. So we develop intimacy by hearing his voice, by sharing time with him. The way you develop intimacy with your wife is by spending time with her. There's no other way. You have to make time for her. I don't care your job. You have to find a day you and your wife sit together and talk. And your talking is not arguing. You tell her how much you love her, how much her hair is so. Don't run away from paying for her to make her hair. Just tell her the hair is good. If she asks for the money, give her. That's where you develop that intimacy, is where you appreciate, where you affirm, where you recognize. Come on, church. Am I right? That's where you develop relationship. You don't develop relationship over arguing all the time. Somebody must give. That's why you share. That's why you tell her how awesome that she's the best cook in this world. Even if, no, I'm not going there. But it's okay. That's how to share. That's how to develop intimacy. Let me tell us something. Listen to me. When you affirm people, the best in them come out. I'm not kidding. You don't know somebody until you start affirming them. All you know is the bad side. There's always good something in people. When you start affirming them, that good thing begins to, they rise to live at that level. That's how to lead people. Is to recognize what is good in them and let them know they have it and talk about it all the time. Everybody has their negative side. So, intimacy with the Holy Spirit is to go and sit down with Him and share in His Word. And then you will see the good news. You will see the wonderful things that God has done for you. Can I hear amen? So, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, as I'm talking, there is a husband and wife here, you don't talk. And there's a lot of trouble in your home. Serious trouble, financial, health. The devil came in through that you're quarreling. If you humble yourselves and go home today, forget about who is right or who is wrong. One thing God demands from us is our love. Can you go home and give your husband your love, give your wife your love? And God will heal your home. You don't need too much prayer. All you need to do is to go home and say, honey, did you hear that, Pastor? I give you my love. I don't care what's wrong with you. I just love you. Take me. I give you my love. And you reciprocate it. The Spirit of God will take it from there and join you. Let me tell both of you, God brought you together. You allow the enemy to come in and do this. You are one of the best couples in town. You have so much good in both of you. And the enemy is hiding it from you. It's like covering you from seeing it. But when you go home, you have to see it. Can I hear amen? It just came to my spirit as I was preaching. So now, Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Can we say that together? One thing is needful. As we go into this new year, I want you to remember it. One thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. What did Mary choose? Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and share time and fellowship with him. That's where you cut your teeth. When you share time with the Spirit of God in Scripture and let him teach you, you learn his voice. When you go out and hear another voice, say, no, this is not the voice that teaches me Scripture every time. I know that voice. That's called intimacy. That's called communion with the Holy Spirit. You got to know his voice so that you can discern his voice from every other voice around you. Because you will hear many voices on this world. But you need to know that voice. And the only way you know it is sharing time with him in Scripture. He wrote it. That's his voice. The Scripture is really his voice. You share with him. He starts teaching you and you get used to that. In turmoil of life, he will speak again. You pick it up. That's called discern. Differentiate it from all these things. Say, yeah, that's what he's saying. And then he will bring to your revelation what God has done that is not revealed to your natural senses. Then it becomes a substance. And you can believe it and be certain. Praise the Lord. So when everybody is saying there's a casting down, say no. There is what? Because there's something you know. They are not seeing it. But you saw it. He showed it to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we need to have time with him so that he can teach us and we know his voice. And the second thing that we need to do is that we need to take going to church very seriously, take going for Bible studies very seriously, Sunday school very seriously. He teaches in those places because he set them up. I told you, if you ignore him, You are doing yourself a great disservice. These are some of the things we do because we don't know him. I keep telling you, Christians read the Bible in abstract terms. So they think they have a choice to make choices. Why did you say that? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you deny. So it means your time of choice is over. But we think we have the luxury of choices and we readjust ourselves. That's what I'm saying. When you don't know him, you get confused. You do things on your own. So in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, I think that couple I'm talking about, one of you lost his job or her job. It's all because of this. If you do this thing that the Lord is telling you, God will restore you to a better job. Within 4 weeks, you get a better job. And it will be all good for you. That thing is causing you financial problem. I don't know you. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, this is church. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with what? I didn't hear you. They assembled themselves with what? The church and taught much people. And the disciples who are called Christians first were? They were taught in the church. They assembled themselves with the church. You cannot but assemble yourself with the church. That's where they were taught. In the church. The Bible said the scripture should be read in the church. God has put people over you in the church who will teach you. Again, this is what I'm saying. If you don't know him and understand his voice, you think you have a choice. You can't pick and choose. Do you know you didn't put yourself in the church? He put you. The Bible says he asked to the church, such as are saved. You don't quit like that. He put you there. When the devil wants to deal with you, he kicks you out and gives you all this demonic wisdom. Church is serious business for God. That's the body of Jesus. Can I hear amen? So he put people to teach you Sunday school. There are Sunday school teachers. They have the assignment to teach you. You must be there and humble yourself. I grew up from the pew. I didn't go to Bible college. Nobody. I'm not saying it's not good to go. Nobody taught me one day how to be a pastor. And the Lord told me, I said, don't go. I want to train you myself. You ordained me against all odds. I don't have time to tell you that story. Against all odds. And when he told me to come here and brought us here, I said, start your church in Newark, brother. This is a place where Brazilians live. It's called Iron Bank. The Lord said, a man that came to America, I don't know anybody to help me. I will start church among Portuguese. I'm telling you, those things you can't figure out. And we did. And when I came there, assistant pastor said, he said, two years ago, I had the revelation that God was bringing an African to start church here, and I saw you. No signboard, no parking, nothing. If I follow the wisdom of people, I won't start it. But that's why the church started and started to grow. And first, I didn't see any result because it wasn't me and my family. So they abandoned us. But what they didn't know, what they didn't know is that I was hearing his what? Voice telling me, stay here. He said, they didn't bring you here. Don't worry about it. Today, this is one of their biggest churches in the East Coast. This very church. 2019, I'm telling you, please, I'm begging you, develop intimacy with him. He will show you great and mighty things you don't. He will take you from mediocrity to what? Excellence. He can readjust your job. He can check you from your job. He can show you things that don't make sense. Say, start doing this thing. You start doing it in the next 1-2 years, you'll be amazed how he will make that thing prosper because he's the one behind it. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. So Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You know why this brings you to that situation? He said God has put in the church prophets, teachers that will teach you that responsibility is to equip you. So when you don't go to church, they will not equip you. And God has no alternative to that. If there's alternative, he will tell us in the Bible. There's none. So you say, put yourself under authority. Humble yourself. That's how I grew up. I grew up under the pew. Sunday school, me and my wife, didn't occur to me, miss Sunday school. For what? When I came to this country, I was in a church. I never missed their Sunday school. My wife was making notes, and they were teaching us salvation. And after about 2 months, the Lord said to me, if you fail that test, I won't take you to where you're going. I said, what test? He said, I wanted to prove your heart. That it's not about you. Because I sat there, God knows my heart. I sat there listening to everything. And I pastored the church as big as that one. For the third biggest church Four Square has. But I never went there to say, I'm a pastor, recognize. Nobody recognize. Who are you? They recognize you. I sat there. Bible studies, everything. I was there. I remember even following to sweep sometimes. They never knew me as a pastor, never told anybody I was a pastor. It's unimportant, totally irrelevant. What is relevant is what is God doing at the moment? Hear his voice. If you catch me, shout hallelujah. So if you are not going to listen to those people, let me show you what you are doing in Luke chapter 16, verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have who? Moses and who? Let them. God will say, you are a pastor I put over. You can't hear. I pointed him. I called him. You didn't call him. I called him. You didn't call him. I called him. I put him there. Go and hear him. I appointed Sunday school teachers to teach you. You don't come. Go and hear them. Or you say, Lord, I need to hear a prophecy. Let me show you that that's how people won't hear anymore from the Holy Spirit. Demons will be giving them visions and then they think it's God. Look at the next verse. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went out from the dead, they will repent. That is, we can show them supernatural things, they will. He said, no, no. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He said, nothing will come. If they don't hear the people I put in my wisdom over them, even if they see a spirit, tell them they will not be persuaded. So the Spirit of God won't waste his time. You know, some people come and tell me the visions they see. I look at them and I shake my head. This is Bible. I'm trying to let us get ready for glory. Humble yourself, what? Under the mighty hand of God. And God will. I have never seen a man that God lifted up who didn't humble himself. Moses was meek. And God says, I speak to him how? Because he was meek. Jesus came here and made himself of no reputation. And God, did you think there's another route? None. Can I hear amen? So we must have this desire to develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit because he has all the information you need. Not only the information you need, he has the power you need. He's the one that makes things happen. You can't make nothing happen. Somebody shout hallelujah. You can't make nothing happen. Only he makes things happen. And my prayer is that as we prepare for 2019, that we would desire to develop intimacy with the Spirit of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Did you catch what I'm saying? We're on a journey. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be really exciting. I'm telling you, it's going to be really exciting. When they came here to dedicate this church, they were shocked. They were looking at all these places. They were really shocked. Because these Africans now would have any millionaire. They were shocked. They were looking at it. Going from parking lot to parking lot. But one thing I told them, I said, if it is God, no man can stop it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You are going to be a testimony to 2019. I'm telling you are going to be a huge testimony in 2019. The Lord will open for you a new level of glory. He will take away shame from you. He will take away regrets from you. He will put you in a place of flourishing, a place of joy, a place of fullness of joy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.